Music, news, information. Weekday mornings from 11.
This is Northside Today.
I want to welcome into the studio now Mary Gagan from Durrisbuey. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, John.
Thanks very much for dropping around to us.
And thank you for inviting us down. We really appreciate it.
Now, we're going to talk about the anniversary, and I couldn't believe it's actually your 30th anniversary.
30 years in existence.
It's a long time, isn't it?
Yes, it's a very long time for a community development group to be in an area.
Now, before we get into the celebrations and talk about the celebrations, tell the listeners about Durrisbuey services.
Well, Durrisbuey, as you've said, is in Coolock for 30 years now, which is a really long time. And I suppose there's two parts to the service, really. One is a resource part to the service, a resource centre, and the other part is an early year service. So as an organisation, what we aim to do is we support lone parents, and our aim is that we get that lone parents have a chance to extend their life choices, and that there's an opportunity for them really to reach their true potential. And we do that in a number of ways. So the resource side of Durrisbuey, which is Yellow Door for people aren't into the Gaeilge, a welcoming door, is that people can have information and advice, which is really, really important. And very often lone parents can be in a crisis. So information and advice needs to be given in a very timely manner. And that's one of the things that we do. We also have a teen parenting support program. So for very young lone parents, we offer support and advice. And obviously, again, a really important thing for lone parents would be that they have opportunities for education and advancement and training. So as long term, that their life chances are much better. Because lone parents in Ireland actually are one of the most deprived groups in our society. And again, that's been a very consistent thing, believe it or not, over the last 30 years. And Durrisbuey are working to address that, you know, in our society. So in the resource side of the centre, what we try to do is support lone parents to reach the full potential. So as I said, that's one side of it. The other thing is the early years service. Because for all parents, the whole issue of childcare is a very serious issue. And for lone parents, it's particularly so. Because without having affordable, accessible childcare, it's very, very difficult to actually be involved in training or be involved in employment. And that's one of the things that we do in Durrisbuey as well. And we're actually hoping to extend that service from September. We were going to offer an after-school service as well, an after-school childcare service also.
And I know now from talking to other people that the cost of childcare in Ireland is especially high. Is that still the case?
Absolutely. It's absolutely huge. I mean, you can be charged nearly anything in relation to childcare. At Durrisbuey, we offer affordable childcare for lone parents. I mean, people say that it's larger than a mortgage, you know, from the point of view of childcare per child.
And you have a fantastic creche around there as well.
Yes, we do.
It's a very good name.
Yes, we do.
Payments to lone parents as well. There was a catch-22 situation there. I'm not sure if it's been resolved about working part-time and losing your payment.
Yes. Last year, there was there was a lot of publicity around the whole thing about lone parents being required to move from lone parents' allowance when their child was seven. Now, there's been a few changes in relation to that, but it was quite a big controversy at the time for many reasons. But I suppose one of the key things that struck me was that in our society, in Ireland, we focus very much on children and the needs of children and what they, you know, they need. And children need their parents. And the truth is, from the point of view of Ireland, it's quite interesting that one in four children grow up in a lone parent family. Actually, one in eight adults live in a lone parent family. So, you know, the statistics are very, very high. And again, one of the other things that comes up is actually, and this was quite interesting, in the Growing Up in Ireland research project, it came up that in fact, only 3 out of every 10 lone parents access social welfare. So again, you know, when we think about statistics and, you know, things like, you know, people moving on to different payments, we're only talking about actually a small percentage of lone parents that are in that position. But again, it makes it very difficult, you know, because again, if you don't have affordable childcare, what do you actually do?
And how did 7 out of 10 people don't access social welfare payments? So how do they cope? How do they manage financially?
Well, actually, what happens is 48% of lone parents are in full-time employment, are in employment.
Yeah.
But again, when we take a look at, you know, our society and the way lone parents are portrayed, generally speaking, people think very young women, and really that they're not doing anything with their life, which isn't the truth.
Is that perception still out there?
Well, it's actually interesting. There was a recent article by Barbara Scully, who did an interesting piece on about, she actually called them single mothers at the time, and she was looking at tragedies won't stop until we stop judging single mothers. That was the name of her article. But what she was looking at is the fact that, you know, lone parents continue to be one of the most stigmatised groups in our society. And, you know, again, when the controversy occurred, say, last year in relation to the removal of the lone parent allowance, there was limited support, you know, across the media in relation to that, you know. So again, it's probably one of the groups that, you know, are the most stigmatised, and one of the reasons why Duras Bwy continues their work, because the fact is that lone parents, like anybody, like any parent, you know, is entitled to have the support and the guidance and every opportunity offered to them, like in our society.
And there's also a statistic there that lone parents are more at risk of going over that poverty line into poverty.
Yes, and that's been consistent, consistent. So with, actually, I think it's about 60% of lone parents would fall under what they would classify as the deprivation level. So that's, you know, that's not acceptable in our modern society. And Duras Bwy is working to counteract that.
And how do you use a lobbying politicians are
well what we do is, actually, we're going to launch our new strategic plan tomorrow, and one part of that is to advocate with lone parents to actually take a look at, you know, lone parenting in Ireland today, what it's all about. And we're going to actually work on that over the next 4 years, because our strategic plan covers the 4 years. Because again, one of the other things that we very often don't think about is lone parent families can be families, obviously, where people are working, can be families where people are separated, divorced, people are widowed. If somebody is parenting alone, they're a lone parent family.
You know, that's so right. That's something you mentioned there, you know, there's different categories for lone parenting. And I remember interviewing somebody about that, the losing their payment, their single parent. And the point was made that you can be a lone parent when your child is 10,
absolutely,
13. You know, it was a ridiculous thing at the time.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that is certainly one of the things that we find in our centre, in that people are coming in, they may be separating, they may be divorced or whatever, and it's a case that you have people who are older with a number of children, and they are now in a lone parenting situation. And what do you do?
Yeah, yes. It's a very, very difficult situation, isn't it?
It's very difficult.
And so that's where the advice comes in.
Yes, yes. And in a timely manner. Because very often you can be in a situation that you do not know where to turn. But I mean, in this area, you can turn to Duras Bwy.
Now, you mentioned very young mothers, and we don't want to get into this perception of that used to be there, although you say it's still there, that it was young women having babies just to collect social welfare. That's no longer the case.
Yes.
But if there's you mentioned a school girl becoming pregnant, that's going to be a huge problem there.
Yes, so it's a huge trauma for the girl herself, because if she is a teen parent, she is still a child herself.
Yeah.
You know, and the definition of youth in the country is under 25 years. So you are actually not just working with one child, which is the baby when it's born, but you're working with the parent who actually is classified as a young person. So that's hugely traumatic. It's also traumatic for the wider family, in that very often the families may not know the best way to support the young teen parent. And that, again, is an area that we offer a lot of support to the families, in particular the grandparents in these situations. So we provide that service also to the grandparents, because we extend the whole thing of service to lone parents, their children and their families within the community. So again, that is a service that's really well used and really obviously very important. But another thing in relation to the young parent, the young mother, if we're talking about the young mother going to school, sometimes pregnancy can be the end of education. Whereas in Durisbui, through the Teen Parenting Support Programme, we focus very much on supporting the young woman to get on as best as she can in education. Because the truth of it is, if we're looking at deprivation, if we're looking at lone parents in our society and the fact that so many lone parents actually are living below the poverty line as such, education is the greatest tool in making a change in relation to that. And again, I'm delighted to say in Durisbui, through our Teen Parenting Support Programme, we have a great focus on supporting the parent to achieve the highest possible academic standard, because it makes a huge difference long term, not just to themselves, but to their children. Because again, it's always, it's not just one person, it's two.
Yeah, and you don't want the student giving up school.
Absolutely not.
And that's probably where grandparents would come into play.
They do very much.
Take over the mind.
Yes,
I
mean, grandparents are absolutely fantastic. They have a huge role to play in the life of their grandchildren. And again, that's throughout society. I mean, grandparents, I think, very often are the neglected group. They're not thought about maybe that much, although there's been changes in that, obviously, with the Child and Family Bill. But again, yes, the grandparents, they do need support and they make a huge difference. The more supportive the grandparents are, obviously, or the potential grandparents, I should say, in some cases, the better it is, obviously, long term.
Right, well, we move on to the celebration tomorrow.
Yes.
And hopefully I'll be going around there and we'll be reporting back on tomorrow's programme.
Oh, that's great, John.
What's happening? Once again, I have to say, I'm amazed, 30 years.
Well, 30 years is a huge achievement, absolutely a huge achievement. And obviously, it just shows how important the service actually is, you know, that it's continued to run successfully and develop over the 30 years. And I suppose what we're saying to ourselves tomorrow, we're going to be celebrating the next 30. That'll be our focus tomorrow. So tomorrow, what we have done is we've invited people from the local community. We've invited service users. That would be people who come into our centre. And we've obviously invited as many people, you know, from statutory organisations, really the community around Coolock are invited along tomorrow. And what we're going to have is we're going to have a little bit of music, we're going to have a little bit of food, we're going to have speeches. maybe not too long of speeches. But the thing is, it's like a birthday party. We're celebrating our 30 years. The children from our early year service will come out, we'll have a birthday cake. They'll blow out the candles, and I suppose really we're just recognising what we've done so far, and we're looking forward to moving into the future.
And it's a celebration, as you said there. It's a party. It's a celebration.
It's a party, and there'll be a party atmosphere there. We're going to have singing from a local choir, 40 children from a local school. We're going to have two people from the Dublin Gospel Choir will come in and sing us through our food as well. So that's great. Sinead and Mark, so they'll come in as well.
That's fantastic. So, and this is happening from 10:30 tomorrow morning till 2:30.
Well, 12:30. Half 12 we're going to start tomorrow, and it'll be on till 2:30.
It's fantastic.
Yes.
Now, you talked about the service you provide and everything Durisbui does, and it's fantastic. What about funding? Do you have fundraisers, or are you helped out by government departments or anything like that?
Yes, we are supported through government departments in that we're involved in, obviously, supports for our early year services would come, and we also have some supports for the community development side of our organisation. But as you know, in this field, funding is always an issue, and during the year we run a number of fundraising events, and only on Monday we were out running, walking the mini marathon for funds. So we were always doing fundraising events like that.
And the people that work around there, are they volunteers, or there has to be, of course, full-time people?
Yes, we have a group of staff in the resource centre, and we also have, obviously, we have staff, childcare staff in the early year service, because you have to have certain ratios, obviously, in relation to working with children. So we have staff of about 30 in total, primarily staff working in the early year services. And then we have volunteers, I suppose, really are the participants who are coming in, because they are coming in on a voluntary basis. And some of the people who use our services have used our services for many, many years. And it'll be interesting tomorrow, a number of the speeches tomorrow three of them actually, will be people who have been involved in Durrisbuy over the years. Some for a short period of time, others for maybe 20 years or over. So it's, you know, people, just because, say, their parenting jobs are over, that their children reach 18 or 21 or whatever, people continue to be in a lone parenting situation in that they are, they're not two people together, you know, that they're lone parents and they're linking into the centre going on.
Right, so if somebody wants to make contact with Durrisbuy, is there contact numbers and websites, etc.?
We do indeed. We have a website. We have a phone number as well, which is 84 84 811, and we will arrange to get back. If anybody calls, we'll get back to them as soon as possible. If somebody wants to call in, which is probably a really effective way to get us, just call in, and we're based on Bunratty Drive, obviously just around the corner from here. Just call in. The times are from 9 to 5 primarily, but leave a message for us. We'll get back as soon as possible, because responding in a timely manner is really, really important to us. And our web number is www.durrisbuy.org.
People can just walk in.
People
can
just
ring and make an appointment.
No, you don't have to ring and make an appointment. You can call in, and what we'll do is we'll meet people, and if we need to make a further meeting, arrange a further meeting, we will do that. But again, it's important that we respond quickly to people.
Well, listen, that's fantastic, and all the best tomorrow, and I'll hopefully be dropping around.
We're looking forward to it, John.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
And thank you, John.
Your alternative across northeast Dublin. 90.3. This is Near FM.